Morning. Today's daf in the Durham is Chaf Dalet. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Learn the daf to the Zeich Nishmas Libig Arviela Bashmuel. We are on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. We're starting today the last two lines with the words Yibay Lahu. We are in the third parak of Nedarim. The third parak of Nedarim is dedicated to four types of Nedarim that do not require a heter because they're not neder. Four different reasons, which we're going to be exploring through the course of this parak. So it's clear in the context that they're not just simply not a neder. And as a result of that, even though you said it and even though you meant it, but it's not a neder. So the first category, which we've been discussing, is Nidrei Zeruzin. Nidarim that are made, but they're made simply for motivational reasons. One of the examples, the first example that's given to us in the Perek, is let's say you have a buyer and seller, and they're negotiating. And through the negotiation, one is very serious, and one says, you know, I'm not selling it to you for anything less than four. And he stamps it with a neder. And the buyer says, that's funny, because I'm not paying anything more than two. And he solidifies that with a neder as well. And the Mishnah says that really the truth of the matter is that neither of them really intended to go at four and two. They just understand that when you go into negotiation, this is just simply how business works. This is how bartering works. Not bartering, but rather a negotiation. And as a result of that, really, both of them wanted three. Both of them were looking at three, but that's just simply not how the world works. The way the world works is that one starts at four, the other starts at two, and then you end up going to three. And even though each one of them solidifies their position, reinforces themselves with a neder, nevertheless, it's not viewed as a neder because it's simply motivational. That was the first example that was given to us in the Mishnah, and the Gemara had an ensuing discussion. And then we learned the second Mishnah, where the second Mishnah of the Perek gave us another example, and that is I'm trying to get my friend to come over to my house for Shabbos. It doesn't have to be for Shabbos, but I try to get him over, and he's refusing. So finally I said, enough already. I'll tell you what, you're going to come to me over for Shabbos, and if you don't, I'm making an eder. And so that also is motivational. But if you look at the Mishnah, you will find that the Mishnah, as we saw in yesterday's daf, presents itself as the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. If you turn back the page and you look back at Chav Gimel Amud Aleph and you look at the Mishnah, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Afar Rosal Ad Yitz Chaver Sheyochel Etzlo. Let's say the person is just he's reluctant. He's refusing to eat by you, and you make a neder, and the neder will be something to the tune of, if you don't eat by me, so then my possessions will become prohibited to you. In other words, you're trying to push him and motivate him. So this is another example of Nidrei Zeruzin. So Yishiyok Letzlo Yomer Lo Kol Neder Shani Asi Lidor Hu Batol Uvavashu Uzach B'Shasa Neder. Now the end of the Mishnah, if you remember, that was yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf tried to decipher what exactly what the Mishnah meant at the end. But that was the second point. That was a separate point. And that was yesterday's daf, which got into the topic of serving notice. Can you serve notice and then later when you make a neder, can you then rely on the fact that at some point, some time ago, you served notice, and in your notice you said that any neder that I said will become null and void. And that obviously brought us on to the topic of Kol Nidrei, where the Ron discussed whether or not Kol Nidrei is a good thing or not a good thing, and which is what we discussed at the end of yesterday's year. Okay, but in the meantime, however, just in the larger context of our parak, there are two examples of Nidrei Zeruzim. The first example in the first Mishnah, and the second example in the second Mishnah. Again, the first example is two people negotiating, bargaining over the price of an item. One says four, the other says two. Each one stamps their position with a neder. It's just motivational. And therefore, it's not a neder. The second example is where a person's trying to get another person to come over. Please eat by me. Please eat by me. You know what? If you don't eat by me, I'm gonna forbid you to meet through a neder. So, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that also is considered motivational. And so the Gemara now has two very simple questions. Yibay lahu. Pliga Rabban Allah de Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Olo. So first of all, our Mishnah presents itself as Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's position. Does that mean that there's an assumed disputant of our Mishnah? Do the Chachamim argue with our Mishnah? That's question number one. The Imtim Salamar Pligi. And if you're going to tell me that they're arguing Hilchos Kavase Olo, then that only leads us to the second question, which is who does the Halacha follow like? Does it follow like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, or does it follow like the Chachamim? Good. Before we go further in the Gemara, so let's think this through. Why would there be a distinction between case number one of the first Mishnah and case number two, our Mishnah that we're currently learning? So the Ron goes on to explain what would be the difference, and why would it be that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov there would be no debate in the first Mishnah that that's motivational. And in our Mishnah, there could be a debate, which we'll learn later on. There actually is a debate. But why would there be a difference? So if you take a look at the last Ran on Chaf Gimel Midbeis, he writes, The Ran goes on to explain, because here's the doubt. Bahachi. Mishum de Dilmat kan lo kami rabbanan dinidriziruz and have ela bim mocher velo keach. I can understand how when you are sitting there bargaining with one another, trying to negotiate a price, mekachu memkar, shein piyam v'libam shavim. You understand that that's just simply how the game is played. Where when I say four, I don't mean four, and when the other says two, he doesn't mean two. We all understand that's how the game is played. Da'af mitchila hayurotzim b'shlosha dinarim. Really, the truth of the matter is, each one of us wanted the sale price to be three, but we understand that that's just not how the game is played. But over here, I'm trying to get you to eat by me. So we're not negotiating over a price. I just want you to eat by me. And you kept refusing my offer again and again, and apparently I'm not getting the hint, but you keep refusing, and so here, enough already, you're going to eat by me, and if you don't eat by me, so you're going to be banned by me through a nether, it could be that over here, I meant it. Meaning it wasn't just motivational, I wasn't just trying to incentivize you, I really meant, hey, you're going to eat by me, and if you don't, you're going to be banned through a nether. So the Ran says that may be the difference between case number one and case number two, where case number two could be subject to a machlokas. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, so let's see. And so what we're going to be doing from now until the Mishnah, which is on Chavdal Medbeis, is we're going to be basically responding to this one simple question. Do the Chachamim argue with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov? And then part B is that if the Chachamim argue with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who does the halacha follow like? Okay. So, Tashma, the Gemara says, let's see. Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. Ha omer lechavero konim sheini neni lach, ime atanota levincha, kur shalchitim v'shtei chavir sheyayim. Ha rei ze yachol lahatir, snidjor shalo api chacham. So, the person makes the following declaration. Konim, he says, I am prepared to prohibit prohibit your stuff on me. If you don't take from me for your son a little bit of wheat and two barrels of wine, in other words, I want to give you a gift. Okay? And it's a modest gift. It's a nice gift. Wheat and wine. And if you don't take it from me, I'm prohibiting myself to you.
Not a little bit, though.
Okay. Correct, by the way. Correct. Kor is 30 saw. Okay? You're right. And two barrels. And so now, right now, he is ready to make a neder effective if the gift is not taken from him. So now, So the Mishnah says, Yachol ha'atir snidjur shalo api chacham. So over here, you can get released from the neder, and you don't even need a chacham. And why don't you need a chacham over here? Sheyachol amar lo klom amart ela bishvil kvodi. Zehi kvodi. So over here, the reason why you can get out of the nether is because the following argument can be made. Look, obviously, what do you want to do? You want to honor me, okay? So you want to know how to really honor me? Can I give you the secret of how to really honor me? Don't give me a gift. By not giving me a gift, that's how you really honor me. Why is the refusal of a gift an honor? So the Ran says, the top run on the Amud. No, sorry. So, yeah, the second run on the Amud. Klum amart ala mimnei kvodi, she is kaved al yadcha mimnei habrios, she yiru shani chashuv beinecha, she ata rotze liten li matana, zeu kvodi, she is kaved yosir. You want to honor me by giving me a gift, and everyone's going to see that you gave me a gift, and that, wow, what a big honor. But I'll tell you what, the Ran explains, the Gemara. What would be a better gift is my refusal. The Ran writes, She'eskabed yoser kishiyurusha atarotze litein, ve'ani eini rotze lakabel. Better, says the Ran, is that if you offer me a gift and I refuse it, that's even a bigger honor for me. Take a look at the where is it? Okay, another maker. Right. Take a look at the Rush. The Rush gives a similar explanation. Zeu kvodi lisno matanos, meaning in general, you should be a hater of gifts, meaning hater of receiving gifts. The pasuk says, "Sonei matanos yichya." Anyone who hates gifts is going to live a long life. In other words, you shouldn't be the receiver. You should be more on the side of the giver. Okay. Either way, what do you see from this Mishnah? Again, the Mishnah is describing a scenario in which a person goes over to another and says, here, I need to give you a gift, or I want to give your son a gift, and please accept it. And if you don't accept it, I'm going to be bound by a neder. So over here, the Mishnah says, in this situation, you could be released from the neder, and you don't even need a chacham, because again, what was the goal? The goal was to honor him. Okay, by giving the gift, and I'm sorry, by rejecting the gift, that also is considered honored. So in other words, the goal has been met. Okay. And now on that, the Gemara now comments. So So the reason why the neder is not effective or not in effect is because, again, there's a goal. And the goal is, you want to honor me? Okay, good. Me refusing the gift is also honor. Halav hachi nederhu. Now, had it not been for this argument, it would have been very clear that the neder is in force. So money. So now the question is a very simple question. E Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov nidrei zeruzin havai. Look, we learned in our Mishnah that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I'm trying to get you over my house. In other words, basically, it's very analogous. I'm trying to give you a gift, and you're refusing. Now, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that's just motivational. It's not a neder. Here in the Mishnah, we just learned where the Mishnah says you're good. But the Mishnah doesn't say, this is a critical reading of the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say it's good because it's motivational. That's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says it's okay because your goal is to honor me. Mission accomplished. You honored me. So in other words, the only reason why the neder is not enforced is because you did exactly what you sought out to do. You wanted to honor me, you honored me. But other than that, it's very clear, meaning had the mission not been accomplished, then it would in fact be a neder. According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, it shouldn't be a neder. It should just simply be motivational. So what do you see over here? That the Chachamim argue with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay. So right now, on the question of do the Chachamim argue with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the Gemara right now is suggesting yes, because this Mishnah cannot be going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. The Gemara offers another way to look at the Mishnah.
So motivation versus honor, basically?
Not motivation versus honor. Motivational just simply means I'm looking to incentivize. That's all I want to do. If that's all your purpose is, so then it's not a neder. You say neder, but really you don't mean it. You just simply want to incentivize. So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov gave another example where I'm inviting him over, he's refusing, neder. That's also motivational, says Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. But in this case that we just learned about the gift, the Mishnah doesn't say, it's motivational. The Mishnah says, no, because you fulfilled your goal of giving him honors, therefore the neder is not in effect. Which means that had we not made that argument, it would have been a neder. So
was this done in public? Or?
I'm not sure if that would make a difference. I don't know. Maybe. La Olam Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the Gemara says, no. Really, the truth of the matter is, the author of that Mishnah also is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Omod Rav Elazar ben Yaakov behind the Nidra Havai. And what we can now argue is as follows. Even according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, in that case, it's a neder. It's not motivational, and it's a neder. The Amar Lay, and why should that be? Because he can make the following argument to him. Lo Kaba Ana, I'm not a dog. The mit hanina minach, where all I'm doing is getting benefit from you, v'lo mit hanet minai, and you're not getting benefit from me. Meaning, again, what's the difference between motivational versus quote unquote a real neder? Motivational is like we're just it's a manner of speaking. It's just a way for me to move you from your position. But of course, I don't mean it as harshly as I'm saying. As opposed to a neder, where a neder is, I mean it. I'm significantly serious about what I'm saying right now. What the Gemara's argument right now is that in this case of the gift and his desire to give a gift, he means it. He's very serious about it. What's the argument? The argument is, I'm not a dog. Right? That's the that's the wording of the Gemara. All right, lokalva ana. I'm not a dog. What's the nature of a dog? The dog just gets. What does the dog give back? I know you speak to the dog owners out there, they're going to tell you the dog gives back plenty. Okay. You speak to the non-dog owners out there, and they'll tell you, I understand companionship, you know, whatever. Okay, but in other words, I understand. There are a lot of dog owners out there, but the Gemara says that the nature of the dog is that he receives or receives. He doesn't give anything back. This person who is now, in other words, now we understand. There's a little more context to this this scenario. This person has been receiving, and he's been giving nothing back. And he says, enough already. This is ridiculous. Meaning, all I've been doing is getting. I haven't given anything back. I'm giving you a gift. You better take it from me. If you don't take it from me, there's a netter that's going to be waiting if you don't take it from me. So what the Gemara now is arguing is, he's serious. This is not just motivational. He's not just trying to incentivize the receiver to receive. He really wants to give something because he doesn't just want to be a taker. He also wants to be a giver. And the Gemara therefore argues this could also be the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. In the case of our Mishnah, we're talking about a Shabbos lunch, a Shabbos dinner. Please come over. I'd love it. You know what? I'm making a neder if you don't come over. That's just jocular. That's just motivational. But here in this case, he's very serious about it. He doesn't want to be a dog. The Gemara says that's the distinction between the two cases. So the Amar lo kavana de mitani minach v'la mitani minai. Tashma.
How would he know? He has to wait until the other person responds.
So right. In other words, if the person refuses, so now we're in the world of the neder coming into fruition. Tashma de Amar lechaver konim shataneneshli imatanosin livni kor shalchita v'shtei chavir shayayin. So now we're going to have another Mishnah. And this Mishnah is describing the following. I say to my friend, look, I'm ready to put a neder in place. Konam. Right? I'm ready to put in place a neder. Sha'at ha'nenes li. You're not going to be getting any benefit from me. Imi atanosin livni, kor shalchitim sheikhav yishayayin, unless you give my son a core of wheat and two barrels of wine. Now over here we're going in the other direction. Right? In other words, he's making a neder, but not because he wants to be a giver, but just the opposite. He wants to be a receiver. Well, don't give it to me, give it to my kids. Okay? And the Mishnah says that if you don't give it to my kids, a neder is going to be in place. What's the status of this neder? Rebbe Meir Omer Achitain. So Rebbe Meir says that until the gift is actually given, the neder is live and active until the gift is actually given. And the Chachamim say no. It's the neder is easy to be removed. It's so easy you don't even need a chacham. Shiachal omar harenu ki'ilu hiskabalti. Because over here, the receiver, the one who is demanding, can at any point in time say, you know what? It's okay. It's as if I received it. Ki'ilu hiskabalti. So once again, what do you see? The Mishnah gives an argument in terms of how to release a neder. Now, the Mishnah doesn't say it's motivational. The Mishnah doesn't say he's just trying to incentivize. The Mishnah says that because of this argument of ki'ilu hiskabalti, it's as if I received it, therefore there could be a release from the neder. Again, what do we see from that Mishnah? It's a neder. It's a real, live neder, and only because of the argument of ki'ilu hiskabalti is there a release from the neder. Taima in the Gemara makes exactly that point. Taima dama harini ki'ilu hiskabalti alav hachi nederhu. So, once again, who is the author of that Mishnah? Money. E. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov nidre zeruzin havai. So once again, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, it would just simply be motivational. Meaning it wouldn't even need any release. It would be a neder that does not need a release because it's just motivational. El alav rabbanan upligi. So therefore, it must be going like the Chachamim, and the Chachamim argue with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Lo. The Gemara says, no, we can make another argument. Lo olam Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Gemara says that really the truth of the matter is that really it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Umodem Rabbi Elazar Bahai de Nidra Havai. And again, what we can make the argument is that even though Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in our Mishnah, in the invitation Mishnah, says that that's motivational, here once again we can make the argument that this time he's serious. Mishum da amarle lav malka anai. Because over here, you have the other side of the spectrum of why it is, in this case, he's so serious. I'm not a king, right? Lav malka anai. What kind of argument is that? De mehanina lecha va'adlo menesli. What's the nature of a king? Nature of a king is he gives, and he never gets anything back in exchange. Meaning a king, by definition, is a giver. So basically, on the two sides of the spectrum, we have the dog and we have the king. The dog receives, but never gives. King, on the other side, gives, but never receives. And finally, this guy is saying, now again, we have more context now to this scenario. What is he doing? He's demanding, you're going to gift my kids some wheat and some wine. What is he doing? Now we understand. We have a little more context. The context is, for years now, I mean, I'm dramatizing, but for years he's been giving to this guy, and finally he said, enough already. Meaning all these years I've been giving you, and what have I gotten in response? Nothing. He says, it's ridiculous. I'm not a king. Lav malka anai. I'm not a king where I'm just going to be giving and not receiving anything. No. Enough already. You're going to be giving me a gift. Okay, you don't want to make it that selfish. You'll be giving my son a gift. And if you don't, I'm going to impose a neder upon you. So once again, you see over here, you could make the argument that this is not just motivational, he's serious. Because of this argument of lav malkai and I am not a king. So period. So what have we seen so far? So we've seen so far in the Gemara there's a motivational neder of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and that's our Mishnah, and the case of the invitation. And then there are two cases that we've been discussing now since the Mishnah, where the Gemara wanted to argue that you see that the rabbis argue with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and in both times the Gemara argues that no, those two Mishnayos, actually they're from Gittin, those two Mishnayos actually correspond to the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And what's the difference? The difference is that over here he's good and he's serious. He's serious that there's a neder because he doesn't want to be compared to a dog. He doesn't want to be compared to a king. He doesn't want to be a dog, meaning just to be receiving. He wants to give. And therefore, if you don't receive this from me, if you don't allow me to give you, I'm gonna ban you with a neder. And in the second case, just the opposite. I've been giving to you for years. I've never received anything from you. So once again, if you don't give me or my son, so I'm going to ban you with a neder. Okay, so in both of those cases, he's very serious, and that's why it's not just motivational, and that's why those two Mishnahs could be going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, a couple of points before we go on in the Gemara. Number one, it's interesting. In the second case, in that second Mishnah in Gittin, he describes where you're going to be giving to my kid, and if you don't, you're going to be banned by neder. Now, what did the Mishnah say over there? You can be released from that neder with a very simple argument, the argument of ki'ilu is kabalti. You know, it's like I received it already. Now remember, who was the beneficiary of that gift? It wasn't going to be him. It was going to be his child, his son. So over there, if his son was expecting a gift, how can the father say ki'ilu is kabalti? Nah, it's okay. It's like I received it. So the Ran points out, it's a pretty obvious point, but you got to say it, that the only way the father can make this argument is if the father's supporting the kid. You want to see the Ran inside. The Ran is Hareni Kilus Kabalti. It's like before the lines become wide and the narrow lines, it's like six lines up. Hareni Kilus Kabalti Mefarish Beperek Misha Achzu. Right, this is the Gemara in Gittin. Dehainu Taima Mishum De La Arvach Didei Chavim V'Halo Itzrich V'Davka Kshisha Abanim Smuchem Al Shulchano. This is only specific to a case where the son is being supported by the father. Debechei Agav Neshach Lameimar De La Arvach Didei Chavim Shalo Yitzarech La Otzi Mishalo. Because look, if you don't give my son a gift, then I have to, and then I'm going to have to support my son. So that's why he can waive the gift by saying kilu is kabalti. It's okay. It's like I received it. What do you mean? It wasn't me. It was the kid. Yeah, but if the kid doesn't get the gift from you, then it's going to come out of my pocket. So that's why the argument could be kilu is kabalti. That's the Ron's point over there. Another thing to take into consideration is let's go back to the two cases in the Mishnah and Gittin. When the Mishnah and Gittin, he's serious, okay? And the reason why is because he doesn't want to be compared to a dog and he doesn't want to be compared to a king. He doesn't want to be just a giver. He doesn't want to be just a receiver. And that's why he's demanding that there be a little bit of reciprocity. If you take a look once again at the the previous Ron, so he goes on to explain, and what else gives us the hints, the clues that this person is very serious, and it's not just motivational. So the Ron goes on to explain. The Ron makes an excellent point. Mishum damar lelav kaba anai. I'm looking at the previous Ron, so I know I'm working backwards over here. But if you take a look at the previous Ron, it's about a third of the way down. Divra amaschal mishum v'hachu d'shach lemeimer hachem imneisha mizamin oser alatzmo nichze hamizuman. So the Ron makes an excellent observation. Look, in the case of the Mishnah and Gittin, how do we know that he's serious? So again, he doesn't want to be like a dog, he doesn't want to be like a king. But also the Ron says, if you look carefully at the Mishnah over there, you'll also notice, what was the nature of the neder? The nature of the neder was, I'm going to prohibit myself to all of your assets. Meaning a neder can go in one of two directions. A neder could either be, you're prohibited from benefiting from me, or I'm prohibited from benefiting from you. You can go in either direction when making a neder. So the Ron says, when you look carefully at the Mishnah Gittin says, I'm prohibiting myself from benefiting from you. The Ron says, Mishum hachi ikalamemer didafka kamar. That is a telltale sign that he was very specific. She'ina rotza lehanos mimenu. Because basically what I'm saying is, I've had enough of you. Right, in both cases, meaning in the case where you've only been receiving what you never give, or in the case where you've only been giving, you never received. Either way, by virtue of the fact that he says I'm not benefiting from you, it's very clear that it's not just motivational. Ela im ken yikabel hu mimenu gam ken hanazed dekor echad shel chidim v'chulei telav kabahu avav b'masnisen hechashach lemeimer hachiv ha-mizamin eino oser alav nechzeh mezuman de'adraba nechasav hu oser lemezuman. Look back at our Mishnah, and when you look back at our Mishnah, which direction is the neder going? Meaning, who's going to be usher to whom? So if you look back at our Mishnah, Harotz al hadyos chaver sheyochel atzol yomer lo kol neder shani asid lidur. I'm sorry, it's actually not perfectly clear from the Mishnah, but the Ron makes the argument that you're going to be usher to me, meaning you'll be usher to my property if you don't come over my house. There, it's not as serious. Meaning there it's just motivational. He's not saying, I've had enough with you and I'm not benefiting from you. He's saying, look, you don't come eat by me, you're never eating by me. That's more jocular, motivational. In other words, that's not to be taken so literally. So the Ron makes the observation that another way of indicating where he's serious versus where it's just motivational is which direction is the neder going. Okay. Back to our Gemara. So again, let's just reset the Gemara. Let's reset the big question, the big picture of our Gemara. We have a Mishnah of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov where if I try to invite somebody over and he's refusing, and I say, if you don't come over, you're going to be bound by a neder. So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that's motivational. Question one, do the Chachamim argue with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov? Question two, well, if they do, who does the halacha side with? We quoted so far two Mishnayos in Gittin. In both of those, the Gemara said that in those Mishnayos, it could be they're going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, but in those cases, it's not motivational for the argument of, I don't want to be a giver, I don't only want to be a receiver. And also, as Aran points out, you could see, by virtue of the fact that he's ushering himself onto the possession of the other, that he was serious about his neder. Okay, moving along. Amalei Mar Keshisha when Chavdala and Aleph were two-thirds of the way down. Amalei Mar Keshisha Breder of Chisel Rav Ashi Tashma. Let's consider the following. Nidre Onsin. Okay, now this is a Mishnah coming up later in our perek. Okay, remember, there are three categories, of which we're only so far been discussing category number one. And that's Nidrei Zeruzim. But what's an example of Nidrei Onsen? So the Mishnah later on tells us. Hidir chaver she'ochal etzlo, v'chalahu, o'chala b'no, o'she'ikva nahar. So halav, I'm sorry, ikva nahar, period. So once again, the Mishnah over there describes, I'm trying to get you to eat by me. Okay, you better come over to me this Shabbos. And what happens right before Shabbos? Phone call. Look, I'm sorry, I'm really not coming over. I'm sick. Or I'm not coming over, my kid's sick. Or there was a river that separated the two of us and the boat wasn't running. That's not a good example for Shabbos, but you get the basic idea. In other words, onus, beyond my control circumstances, beyond my control, I couldn't make it to you for that meal. So what does the Mishnah say? It's an onus. And therefore, not bound by the neder, because circumstances beyond his control prevented him from coming. Good. Halav hachi nederhu. But again, all you got to do is just go one step further in that Mishnah, and what comes out? Had there not been an onus, the neder would have been in place. Now, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, isn't that just motivational? Good question. Elalav rabbanan upligi. So it must be that the author of that Mishnah is the Chachamim, who argue with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Gemara says, well, la'olam Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Gemara says, once again, no, we can make the argument. That Mishnah also is going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. How could that be? Umisvars to Adra Mizamna Lizmina. Lo. Dizmina Adre la Mizamna. Gemara says that you don't know what happened in that Mishnah, and let's suggest the following. Now, the Gemara is not saying that we know this is the case, but certainly it could be. It could be is that, generally speaking, we thought the case was, hey, please come over. I'm dying for you to come over. You've been saying no all these times. I really want you to come. You know what? This time, I'm so serious about my invitation. I'm ready to make a neder if you don't come over. So again, that case over there, I'm trying to move you from your spot. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that's not the case of that Mishnah. The case of that Mishnah is that the invitee went over to the inviter and says to him, you know, it's been a while since I ate by you. I'm just saying. I don't know what's going on. I mean, you're inviting everyone else in the community over and you never invited me. You haven't invited me in a long time. It's been a month since I've been by you. I'm just saying, I think it'd be wonderful if you invited me over. And the Balaba says, okay, I could take a hint. You want to come over? and the invited says, the Muzuman says, well, I'll tell you what. I don't really feel that you're into this invitation. Why don't you do the following? Make a neder, right? Make me feel that you really want me over. Okay, you want me to make a neder? Fine, I'll make a neder. Now, I know, I mean, trying to be comedic, but you understand that if that were the circumstances there, the neder is not motivational. Right? In that circumstance. He didn't need to move him from a spot because the invitee is more than ready to come over. So the Gemara says maybe that's what the Mishnah is describing. So the conversation goes very much like I just described. Please invite me over for a meal. Amarle in. Say just sure. You want to come over to me? Great. Nader ze alecha. Again, not enough. Make a nader. Like make me feel like you want me over. So v'nadar, and then he made a nader. And you know how life works. This is exactly how life works. And so now, after begging for an invitation and after demanding a nader so that he feels like he's really invited over, then what happens? V'chalahu, he gets sick. O'shechalah, but no, his son gets sick. O'sheik v'nar, he's got some excuse why he didn't come over. After begging for an invitation, hare elu nidre onsen. So those are examples of nidre onsen. So again, what did we just accomplish with all that? All we did is just explain the Mishnah, where you see in that Mishnah, it's not motivational. Because you didn't have to move the invited person from his position. He was more than happy to come. But had it been that he was obstinate and he didn't want to come over, and you're begging him to come over, and you make a neder begging him to come over, so then maybe that's motivational. And then Rav Elazar ben Yaakov would say that under those circumstances, a neder wouldn't be a neder. Okay, so once again, we're still back to square one. Meaning, we don't know yet if A, the Chachamim argue with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and B, even if they do, we don't know who the halacha follows. So we are coming to a conclusion of this topic. Tashma. Yesor ken amar v'lazem en Yaakov. Yesor ken is always an introductory statement made in the Mishnah to tell us that I'll give you one chiddush, I'll give you even a bigger chiddush. Yesor al ken. Moreover. So this is now even a stronger point. Amar v'lazem en Yaakov. Amar l'chaver konim sh'ani nen alach im I ata mitareach etzli. V'tochal imi pat chema v'tishta imi kos chamin. So the person says to another, I'm making a konam, a neder, that I'm not going to get benefit from you if you don't come and spend some time with me, right? Eat by me some warm bread, a little bit of wine. V'hala hikpid kenegdo. And the other one says, no. And hikpid means, literally, he got angry. But in this context, it means more than just get angry, but made a counter neder saying, I'm not coming to you, and if I come to you, then I'll be bound by a neder. So the Af Elu Nidre Zeruzin. And so Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, all those nedarim that were flying back and forth, once again, all those are motivational. And Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, no neder has actually been made. The words have been said, but no neder has actually been made. It's all motivational. And here comes the punchline, v'lo hodu lo chachamim. And the chachamim say, no, we don't agree. Okay, now, let's pause here in the Gemara for just a moment. Let's go right to the Ran. This is a bigger chiddush. Why is this a bigger chiddush? It's pretty much the same as the case of the Mishnah. Why does this Braisa introduce it to Tosefta? Why does it introduce the position of Elazar ben Yaakov by saying, I'll tell you even a bigger chiddush. So let's take a look at the Ran. The Ran goes on to explain. Yes, okay, I'm Elazar ben Yaakov. It's the last Ran on the page. It's a little bit long. Hi, Damer. Yes, okay. Mishum da hachaf agav deshech lemeim alav kaba ana shari oser hanasa mezuman alatzmo im lo yiratza lakaba mimenu hanazu. The Ran says, look, and it goes back to a point that we made earlier, that the Ran made earlier. Look carefully at what the mizamein said, the inviter said. He said, if you don't come to me, I'm offering myself onto you. What did the Ran teach us earlier today? That if you see that he is offering himself onto somebody else, it means I've had enough already. Enough of me eating by you, you benefiting me, enough already. I'm like a dog where all I'm doing is getting, and I'm not giving. I'm telling you right now, if you don't invite me over, if you don't come over to me and eat by me, I'm answering myself onto your possessions. And like the Ran explained earlier, he's serious now. So, the Ran says, so good. So now you could have made a very strong argument that he was serious. And so what Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is teaching us is, this is motivational. Now, what about the fact that the Gemara made the argument earlier this morning that this argument of I don't want to be like a dog, that's a very serious statement. And earlier in the Gemara said, it's so serious that that's not motivational. He meant it. And now the Gemara is doing an about face, and the Ran says, that's correct. Very good. And the Ran says, so what you see now in our Gemara is the argument of Lav Kalba Ana is just Dechuya. Meaning, the Gemara threw that in as an argument, but it's just an argument. And it's not, and it doesn't stand. Valav Kushta de Milsa. It's not the truth. Truth of the matter is that even in this scenario, it's still motivational. Okay. Now, by the way, what I'm not sharing with you is that the Ran offers a different explanation in terms of why it is in that case that he's serious, but for the time being, we'll stick with this pshat within the Ran. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So you see that the Chachamim argue with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. That's clear, because here in this Tosefta, where we have even a bigger Chiddush, and again, according to the Ran, what's the bigger Chiddush? We know that he's even more serious because he says, I'm aser to you and your possessions if you don't eat by me. Still, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that's motivational. And the Chachamim, on this second case, say, we don't agree. Now, my lahodlo chachamim. When the chachamim say we don't agree, what does that mean? De afilu be kamaisa. Ushmamina pligi rabbanan ala shmamina. It means that the Chachamim argue not only on this second case, the Yeser Akein, where there's even more argument that you can make that he's serious, but even in the first case, even in our Mishnah, where in our Mishnah, it's not as serious a neder. And again, according to the Ran, it's not as serious because he says, the inviter says to the invitee, if you don't come by me, so then you're never going to eat from me again. All my possessions become usher to you. So even there, the Chachamim argue. So the Gemara says, good. Now we know the Chachamim argue. Pligi Rabban Allah, Shmamina. So my Havila, the Gemara says, now, what's the conclusion? Tashma Dam Ravun, Halachika Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Echinam Rav Adar Bar Ava, Halachika Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Gemara says that the conclusion is the halacha is in fact like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Now here it's not perfectly clear in the case of the Tosefta, in the case of the Mishnah. So the Ran has a discussion about this, and just without going through the Ran inside, the Ran says it makes more sense to him that it's even going on the case of the Mishnah, where even the case of the Mishnah where I say to somebody, please eat by me, and if you don't eat by me, you're not going to get possessions from my estate, from my food, ever again. So even there, in the halacha goes like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, in that it is simply motivational. Okay? Huh? And we have a general rule. Mishnah's Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki. So another reason why. But here, it's not just one person arguing with him. It's the Chachamim. Okay.
So in other words, the first
Mishnah of the Parak is certainly motivational at the bargaining table, and here also in the case of the invitation, it's also motivational as well. Again, just to make. Now, it's funny that you mentioned that. The Ran on that point isn't super clear. Meaning that the Ran, it's fine, it's good that you mentioned that. The Ran says that the argument of, I don't want to be like a dog, although the Gemara on the Amud Aleph said that he's serious and that means that it's not motivational, but the Ran says, but the Gemara didn't about face on that point. The Ran says, I'm not sure, again, I'm just paraphrasing, I'm not sure about the, I don't want to be like a king. The Ran makes the argument, or suggests that the argument of I don't want to be a king is not just motivational, but he's serious. And again, if you think about it, like it makes sense. Like if all he's been doing is giving, and he's gotten nothing in return, so then you can imagine that he's really frustrated. On the other hand, if all you've been doing is receiving, it certainly makes the person uncomfortable, but not like right. Okay, so on that point, the Ran is not sure whether or not the Gemara also backtracks on the argument of I don't want to be a king. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah. Let's start the next sugya. Nidra Havai. We're up to now category number two. Category number one was I'm making an neder, but it's clear from the context that it's just motivational, and therefore it's not intended. Nidre Havai, I speak in exaggerated forms. And the mission here gives us two examples. I saw a ton of people today walking. Just a couple of weeks ago, was at the. I went to New York, to Manhattan, as the march down the Israel independence. So I saw a ton of people. So how many people did I see? So, with a neder, the person says, "I saw Ka'olim Mitzrayim," the same number of people that left Egypt. Now, the number is about 600,000, but that's only the men. Include the women, include the children, and it's about 2 million. Okay, so. And he says, that's how many people I saw. And if I didn't see that many people, I'm bound by a neder. Okay, now again, like we learned earlier in the Masechta, and the Ran said, in other words, you shouldn't even talk like that. In other words, the word neder shouldn't come out of your mouth. But the point of our Mishnah is that it's exaggerated speech, and even if the number of people that he actually saw did not qualify 600,000, or for that matter 2 million, it doesn't matter. He's not bound by the neder because we know that he was just speaking in exaggerated terms. It's what we call hyperbole. It's fine. It's fine meaning it's not a neder. Example number two, ha'im lo re'isi nachash kekoros be'sabat. Or let's say he says, I saw a snake and it's like, and you know what the snake was like? It was like the beam of the olive press. Okay, anyone ever seen an olive press? I actually have seen one. So if you look at that big thick wooden beam that's used to push down on the olive press to apply the weight and the force in order to squeeze the olives, so that beam is very big and very thick. And he says, you know, I'm telling you, with the force of a neder, I saw a snake that big. Now, the Ron points out over here, and the Gemara later on will make this clear as well, that he's not talking about the thickness of the snake, because there are snakes that thick. In other words, there are big snakes out there. What he means is that just like the olive press has got ridges in it, so I saw a snake that also has ridges in it as well. Okay. Those are the two examples of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah's point in both of them is that they are not... They're just simply exaggerated forms of speech. Now, the Ran over here points out, again, the Ran and the Mishnah, that really they are two examples, and they're not exactly the same. In the case of Ole Mitzrayim, so the Ran says there, it's just hyperbole. And not only that, but look, when he says, oh my gosh, you know how many people were there marching with me in the parade? There was the same number as those that the people left Egypt. You know that what I meant is a lot. I wasn't really giving a number. I wasn't actually saying there were 600,000 people. In other words, all my point was is that there were a lot of people. So, in the first example, says Aran, all we're saying is that it's not even exaggerated speech. You know what it is? It's just simply a means in which people talk. When people want to say a lot, they'll say like the number of people who left Egypt. It's just another way of saying a lot of people. And so therefore, what I'm saying is not even, I mean, it is technically untrue, but in terms of how people generally speak and understand one another, it's not even factually wrong. All I'm saying is that I saw a lot of people. In the second example, the Ran says, so here it gets a little bit trickier. Because we're talking about a snake that has like ridges in the back, I guess kind of like a dinosaur, like the Loch Ness monster. Like, in other words, it's got
alligator.
Yeah, like an alligator, right? So he says he's seen a snake like that, and he's so committed to this idea that he saw a snake like that that he's bound by an adder. There, the Ron says that right. That's full. It's ridiculous. And so therefore, the reason why the neder is not in force over there is because of the ridiculous nature of the statement that he made. In other words, the Ran says that these two examples are really worlds apart from one another. The first example of Ole Mitzrayim, he's right. He's telling the truth. Yes, it's not technically so, but that's not the point of the Mishnah. The point of the Mishnah is, that's just how people speak. People speak in hyperbole, and we understand that. There were tons of people there. Even that expression, think about what I'm saying. There are tons of people. What does that mean, tons? A ton is 2,000 pounds. There are multiple. That's just the manner in which people speak. The Ole Mitzrayim were the number of people I saw today. There were so many people. It's just the way people speak. As opposed to the, you know, I saw a snake with ridges on its back. It's so ridiculous. That we're just like, okay, enough already. He didn't mean that because of the ridiculous nature of that statement. The Ran says that's why the Mishnah gave two examples. And by the way, please look at the Ran inside. He notices the Mishnah in Shavuos, which has a very similar similar discussion, and he goes on to explain based on the way he differentiates between the two cases of the Mishnah. You will then understand the Mishnah in Shavuos. See the Ran inside. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up immediately from the Gemara.